Man, if we have not had the chance to meet, and my name is Kurt, I serve as lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and I want to just tell you, can you just feel the vibrancy of life in what's happening with Vineyard Kids? Isn't that so sweet? And we love that you are stewarding that life in your households, and it just is a really important work that God has given us. And one of the things I've just kind of, a dream I've carried in my heart for our church is that we wouldn't just pray in this building. We wouldn't just give you a chance to respond when we have prayer ministry teams down front, but we would be a community who become our city's prayer ministry team. Wherever we go, we would be ready to say, God, would your mercy come? Would your kingdom come? Would your healing come? And we're going to get to practice that today at 4 o'clock. We'll be meeting at Carlson Elementary. And we'll be joining with churches all over our city, all of Pearland ISD, Alvin ISD. A kingdom collaboration has come together today to put people praying on every campus across our city. And we have the honor and privilege of hosting the prayer at Carlson Elementary, which is right across the street. If you want, they're hosting a prayer rally at 3, and you can go to the prayer rally if you want. If your schedule doesn't allow, we would love for you to join us as we pray over Carlson at 4 o'clock today. We would love for you to be there. You can come pray quickly. You'll probably be sweating within minutes. You can linger. You can bring your kids. It's just a chance to stand outside of this space with our feet on the soil of our city and saying, God, let your kingdom come. Just as we experienced in worship today, I was so aware of God's presence in this place. And I have good news for you. God's presence comes where we go and where we're sent, well beyond this place. And so I'm excited to get to stand together, unite together in prayer. I also want to celebrate for a minute. During the month of July, we invited you to respond with generosity and care and compassion for what unfolded in the Hill Country. And I want to give you an update. You gave, together we as a community responded, $11,471.51 to Convoy of Hope. All of that we are going to send to Convoy of Hope. And my friend Brian McLeese, who works with Convoy of Hope, sent me this update, and this is what we are a part of. As of August 5th, Convoy of Hope had distributed 427,010 pounds of product. They served 22,347 individuals. They had 976 volunteers come through their coordinated effort. 9,819 volunteer hours. Local churches, organization, and operational partners, 5 came together to help steward the work they were doing. 10 different communities were served: Kerrville, San Saba, Marble Falls, Ingram, Hunt, San Angelo, Burnett, Leander, Burney, and Mountain Home. That is what a kingdom partnership looks like. And so we want to continue to pray for families. We want to continue to pray for grieving hearts. And I just want to say thank you. This is what it looks like to be a people who respond with a yes to God's kingdom. And guess what? It's so much bigger than us. It's so much bigger than us. And we are grateful that we can be a part of it and see the bigger work God is doing. So again, I just want to say thank you for who you are. Week in, week out, we respond in worship by giving. And I just think this is a beautiful picture of who you are and how God is at work through us. So, yay, family, way to go. Where do you go from there? Way to go. It's cool. As we move through, you can always get connected to what's happening through our events page on our website. You can scan the QR code to connect. We would love to connect with you, help you take a next step on your journey. And we're going to just step right into the scriptures today. And you might be going, Kurt, you forgot communion. No. The students are coming in at the end. We're going to pray over them. We're going to receive communion with our next-gen ministries. You're going to get to, we're going to get to finish with more worship today. How's that sound? More worship? Y'all okay with that? I am. And so I'm going to just remind us of what we've seen in the scriptures as we conclude our summer series on Sabbath. And then we are going to just turn right back to God and go, we need what you have. We need what only you can give. And so as we have been, we've spent weeks looking to the scriptures, asking God to meet us in some practices and some rhythms of rest. And it's this word he spoke to his people in the Old Testament that I think now more than ever feels timely. It feels like an invitation to know who God is and to build a life that is step for step with the way of the Creator God and His kingdom. Today, I just want to remind us of why Sabbath. Why would you set aside one day a week to not work? Why would you be faithful to the Lord and what He speaks and what He directs and His decrees and His kind of laws for living well? I think at the heart of Sabbath, is that this practice stewards surrender in our life. It renews a heart of surrender every week to the living God so that we don't forget who God is. We don't believe we're alone. We don't isolate and get distanced and distracted and exhausted. Sabbath stewards surrender. And what I know to be true is that's everyone's favorite word. Give up. Surrender. Don't be the boss. Don't be in control. Lay your life down. And yet I'm just going to be real, real direct. If we are following Jesus, there is no other way. If you're living in your own way and you are boss and you are in control, have at it. If you are going to follow Jesus, surrender is the heart of Christ. It is the way He lived. He humbles Himself to the Father. He comes as a servant. He is obedient even to death on a cross. Enters into the tomb to be raised to new life. Last week, celebrated baptism. Three more. Surrender is the way. And Sabbath invites us to a way of surrender that is incredibly good for us. And we're going to see it in the Scriptures. Because Sabbath reminds us that God provides. God wants us to have rest for our soul. God wants us to experience His goodness and His faithfulness and His presence over and over and over again. God wants us to embrace our limits. We're made in His image, yet we are not God. And if it delighted God to create in 6 days and then be refreshed on the seventh, I can only imagine we might need that too. The summer we have slowed down and focused on the invitation to depend on God. And there's a rhythm for us that is for our good. Here's how Exodus 31 captures it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, say to my people, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." There's no holiness apart from God. There's no righteousness apart from God. It is in covenant relationship, connected, depending, surrendered. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. God knows it's a matter of life and death that we depend on Him and receive from Him. And I still feel like that feels a little extreme. Extreme times. Extreme measures. Goes on to say, for 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. He says it again. Yikes. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. The Sabbath is not dreadful. It is celebratory. It is good. And we're going to see that as we remember the rhythms of Sabbath today. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. We're being invited into God's story. The thing that I want to remind us of in week one, we talked about this. This call of Sabbath is a call to loving relationship. It's about covenant connection. God loves you, and he is good, and he wants to pour his goodness into you, but he knows we need to slow down and stop, or we'll just blur right past it. We'll produce our way right past it. Surrender allows us to depend on God. Surrender allows us to receive from God. Surrender allows us to love God with everything. This is why we practice Sabbath. So I want to just take a few minutes and just put it all together. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you have like just dialed in Sabbath? You have your 24 hours set aside. It is good. You have figured it out. Nobody touches your calendar during that period of time. You're feasting, you're joy-filled, you're napping. Oh, it's good. Email off, phone nowhere to be found. It's like all of a sudden, this bubble of heaven just encloses you. Oh, come on, y'all. No, not yet. Look, I've been working at this now intentionally for over a year, and I feel like I'm right back at another starting line. Let's just remind ourselves why. Put it all together in the scriptures. Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. We go, yes, God is good. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, because of what God has done for you and he has set you free, trust him. That's what this is actually about. Some of you are like, I don't have any staff, Kurt. I can't let them rest. I don't have any livestock to work my fields. Just creatively let the Spirit translate this for you. Here's what it's saying. God delivered us, period. Period. God has delivered us, and because of his deliverance, he is good, and we can trust him with our actual life. And we need to follow him with our actual life. Mark 2, Jesus speaks into this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as was his disciples, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. I know you all have had this experience. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? He answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some of him. I've been on summer break too. Good luck, kids, going back to school. Let's see if we can read. And he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Here's the deal. Don't get religious. Don't do it. The Sabbath is not in your own strength. It is not so you can feel self-righteous and like you don't offer Sabbath back to God as a gift. That is not it. We humble ourselves and we go, God, give me what I need. It is made for you. It is good for you. It is a gift for you. But you must rhythm with God. You must surrender and depend on God every week. Don't get religious about it, because it'll steal the life from you. 7 days unto the Lord, 6 for work, 1 for refreshment. 6 for work, 1 for refreshment. So I want you just to think with me for a second. If you're going to actually pull this off, 24 hours in your week to stop work, to intentionally rest, to celebrate and delight and prioritize joy, and to worship. God, you are God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, you have done great things for me. You have faithfully delivered me. I will not forget you. I will remember you and worship you. 24 hours. How many of you right now can imagine protecting a 24-hour period in your week? Yeah, it feels impossible, right? Well, check this out. Yeah, students, y'all come on down. Y'all are going to come sit right down here. Here we go. Here's the deal. If we Sabbath right, I've got really good news. Really good news. If we Sabbath right, 24 hours becomes a little bit easier. Deuteronomy 10 says this, "Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him. Take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes." The things you have seen God do in your life are remembrance so you can trust him with your Sabbath. Y'all keep coming. Look at this. This is our student ministry. Welcome. We're glad you're here. We got space right down here. Come on. Make sure you invite your friends to sit with you. There you go. Do not forget, because here's what we think. We make God real small. God, there's no way I can give you one day a week. God is bigger than your whole week. It's okay. But you have to remember, God, you've done this for me. You've been faithful. Lately, I've been having to remember all the things God has done for me. So check this out. We cannot just talk about Sabbath. We got to be about it. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Okay? Say, be about it. Okay? Here's what I mean. Right now, if you can think of a reason Sabbath won't work, raise your hand. When you get an idea, a barrier to Sabbath, a barrier to 24 hours, think of it. When you get your barrier, raise your hand. I want the room to get creative here. When in your mind you go, the reason I can't set aside 24 hours is this, Kurt. If you knew my situation, you would know it's not possible. Only like four of us? Come on. Okay, if you're practicing Sabbath 24 hours every day of every week, like, this is hard. Here's why. Work. Your bosses are debilitating. Your work production demands more time than you have to give to it. How many of you have email on your phone? Yep, there you go. That's the barrier. Everybody raise your hand. If you have a phone, raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. There are real reasons. We stress about money. God, I have to keep working. I need a second job. I need a third job because I've got to provide to pay for my bills, to pay for my life. Then maybe you have kids. Maybe you don't. But other people's schedules become really difficult. They make this hard. What else makes it hard? Other commitments. Feeling like you don't have the resources to take one day a week and trust God. You desire comfort and convenience more than you have conviction for this in your life. And yet you're exhausted, and you're tired, and you're going, and you're going, and you're going. But listen to how Sabbath works. Here's my question. How many of you think you could set aside an hour and a half as a starting point to say, God, I want to start practicing Sabbath one day a week? Okay, I'm on three. Everybody raise your hand. You're here. You did it. We're going to keep you for an hour 20, and I think all of you live within at least 5 minutes or more, so maybe you already got 2 hours, or you've already got 3 hours. You're well on your way. How many of you slept last night? I hope many of you. If you do Sabbath right, 10 hours, actually not 10. Who am I kidding? I wish I could get 10 hours of sleep. If you do Sabbath right, about 8 hours are for sleeping, another 4 are for eating. Half of Sabbath is sleeping and eating. Amen? Sabbath is awesome. Why do we resist it? Why do we deny God? God, give me rest. I'm going to sleep. Let's start there. But the way Sabbath works is on Saturday night you eat and you go, God, it's yours. Remind me of your goodness. Remind me of your provision. Remind me of your faithfulness as I consume this meal. Sabbath clock starts ticking and we're eating. And then maybe you enjoy a movie or a book or a game or you color or you do a puzzle or you do something that is not work. And then you go to sleep and you invite God, God, I need your rest tonight. I'm exhausted. And you go to sleep and you ask for peace and your Sabbath clock is moving. Now you're at 10 hours. And then you wake up in the morning and you go, God, you're good. I'm going to continue to worship you. I'm going to go be with community, and I'm going to smile, and we're going to celebrate over baptisms. We're going to celebrate over the next generation, and our hearts are filled with joy and possibility. And now you're 12 hours in, and you're 14 hours in. And when you leave this place, go get more good food. And now you're like 15 hours in, 16 hours in, and you begin to realize it's possible, and it's good. Because God's promise is this is good for you. And it's about my presence, which is good for you. It's about my love for you. So don't hold off Sabbath because of reasons it won't work. Just start trying the little bit that will. The little bit that will. Let me give a couple tips, and then we're going to practice part of Sabbath, which is community joy, which is communion. If we're going to stop work, here's a couple tips. Learn to say no. Just learn to say no. Set a boundary and say no. This has been really hard for me, and I'm learning, and I've been working at it. But if we learn to say no, here's what happens. We can put our phone on Do Not Disturb. You can actually turn it off. It's weird. There's an off button. People used to find us and think we were still living when they couldn't call us or text us. It's going to be okay. Set a boundary with your email. It'll still be there. It'll wait. Rabbi Abraham Heschel shares this invitation to us. If you work with your mind, I work with my mind a lot. He says, Sabbath with your hands. Work in the garden. Play a game. Do something where your mind can rest because you activate another part of who you are. Rest up. Slow down. Stop moving. Take a nap. Even if it's a power nap. Power naps are great. My wife Lauren told me about a study she heard of. Astronauts, 27 minutes. It's the prime nap window. I don't know. They're smart. They can get to outer space. They can teach us how to take a power nap. I'm confident of it. 27 minutes. I was thinking about this morning. In our store, we have kids in our home, and when they get really tired, do you know what they do? They speed up. They get going faster. They keep moving. And we're like, if you would just stop, you'll sleep. We do the same thing. As adults, we do the same thing. We just keep ourselves going, If we would just slow down, you know what would happen? We would be able to rest. But here's the fear. The fear is your life is going to crash in on you because you've been trying to hold it off week after week after week after week after week. And so we keep moving, and God is saying, slow down. Let me come. Let me give you rest for your soul. You will be refreshed. Delight. One of the key fruits of the Spirit is joy. Following Jesus should be way more joy-filled than we realize. Sabbath will steward joy. And then we worship. Music. Find a playlist you like. Find a worship band you like. Find a style you like. And then just jam it out. On Sabbath, you get to choose your own playlist. Because it's all about you worshiping God. When you come into a community like this, we get to worship together. What I have come to really feel more conviction about is we can learn to Sabbath anywhere. I shared this earlier in the series. I started practicing Sabbath at 13U baseball games. That's where I started practice. Saturday at a baseball field. God, can I give you this? Can I trust you with this? Can I experience the joy of my son versus the stress of umpires? It's a choice. Oh, yeah. We're going to let that comment just be one for the crowd. Guys, it is stewarding our souls in a world that is trying to take everything from us. In a capitalistic consumer society, everything is coming at you to take. The living God says, I want to pour in. I want to give you life. Trust me. Get away with me. Find rest for your soul. If I can learn to practice Sabbath at a 13U baseball game, you can learn to practice Sabbath wherever God has you in this season, and it's a choice for covenant connection. God, you love me. God, I trust you provide for me. I'm going to let work rest because you are good and you care for me. But it's got to get on our calendars. It's got to get specific. And you've got to be creative. But good news, in 6 days, the living God created the heavens and the earth. On day seven, he was refreshed. If he can do that, I think he can work with us for our world that we're partnering with him to create so that more of his kingdom will come. I want to invite